Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all you're commanding of me. Lord, give me the strength to be every day what I have to be.
Cecilia, I like the song, but that's not the right words, are they?
Well, in this case it is.
In this case, okay.
You see, in this part of Exodus, the Israelites have a lesson to learn.
Ah.
And it isn't about God helping them to take one day at a time. It's about them learning to take one day at a time.
Boy, that's a lesson we all have to learn. Well, let's go ahead and enter room 4216 and let's get going and see what this lesson is and see if we can learn it as well.
Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
So let's go ahead and get started with our reading. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse 1.
The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses,
"I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days."
So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Deserts. I've read about them, but never been in one. Have you ever been in a desert, Pastor Dave?
Well, I've been in desert areas, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not long term, just for like an hour in the sun, and it's a dry. That's the thing that caught my attention, is it's just like it sucks the moisture out of you, that you feel dry and parched, and you can just feel the water leaving you. And so I went inside. So I can't imagine what they were like in this desert day after day under that hot sun. And when you get dehydrated, then you also get hungry.
Mm. And they had enough food for about what?
Probably 30 days. As a Boy Scout, I did camping, and you can carry, well, we carried a weekend's worth of food, but they had carts and animals to carry things. So one place we read that said that probably had 30 days worth of food. So they're moving on now to several, at least a week without much food, if any at all.
Mm. But they had food with them. They had flocks of sheep and they had herds of cattle. So,
well,
yes, they did have food.
Yes and no. I remember reading a story once where a father said to his son, "You know, son, if you start taking the boards off of the house to fuel the fire to keep you warm, how long are you going to stay warm?" And the boy said, "Probably not very long." The father said, "That's right. You're tearing down the house to build the fire. And you're letting in all that cold." And that would be it with if they kill their herds and flocks, that will only last for a short time, and then they'll be out of food again. And they knew that. They knew that. Yes, it did give a little bit of supply of milk, and maybe they had chickens and eggs, but not enough to sustain them for life. So they were really in a corner here.
They had to worry about food and water, not just for themselves, but for their
animals. Right. Yeah. So it was getting desperate, and that's why they started to grumble and complain. You made an interesting point, though, after this reading.
Well, they were grumbling and complaining against the wrong people.
Yeah.
I mean, they were complaining against Moses and Aaron, Moses being the leader, Aaron being the speaker and the head priest.
My guess is that's because these are the people they followed out of Egypt. These were the spokesmen and the prophets of God. They were handy. And isn't that the way we are? We'll grumble and complain or get angry at people who are handy right there.
I remember a time when you got angry with me and I said, "Excuse me, please don't be sharp with me." And yeah.
I apologize. Yes,
you did.
Yeah, there's several times. You get angry at who's handy. And really, though, and that's the other thing you pointed out, that Moses repeated twice. It's not us you should be grumbling against, but you're grumbling against God. And that is one of the key lessons they had to learn here, is not to grumble against God, but to trust God. Oh, now does that say something about us?
Boy, does it ever.
Not to grumble to God, but to talk with him and trust him.
This reminds me of another story.
Oh?
In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15.
Okay.
As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away so that they can go to the nearest village and buy food for themselves." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
I that is a neat Bible verse that you read, and I think I've got the connection, but I think there's something deeper there. And just so it's not overlooked, what drew you to that Bible verse to read it?
The fact that the disciples were grumbling and complaining. They didn't want the responsibility for feeding that crowd of people. And yet Jesus gave them just that responsibility. I'd like to think that he did it in a very calm way. You give them something to eat. They don't need to go away. But all we've got is five loaves and two fish. And these were small loaves, by the way. And so they were complaining against Jesus, God himself. And yet Jesus just handled it. He took what they had and he made a miracle out of it.
Yeah.
Just as God, as we'll see when we read more in Exodus, brings down bread from heaven, a miracle out of that, and brings quail into the camp. So Jesus brought a miracle out of this.
And these things help people to realize they can trust God, so that when dire situations come up again, instead of grumbling and complaining, we trust God. Well, Cecilia, let's go back to the children of Israel in the desert. We were in chapter 16. They had grumbled and complained, and now there's going to be a response. If you pick up, I think we're at verse 9.
Then Moses told Aaron to say to the entire Israelite community, "Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses,
"I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God."
That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes, like frost on the ground, appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed.
So this time, Cecilia, I have a question of you. What is an omer? This measurement that they were supposed to collect.
Well, we need to go down from a measurement called an ephah. An ephah is about a bushel.
Okay.
Then we go down to the omer. An omer is about a tenth of an ephah.
Oh, okay.
Or a tenth of a bushel.
Now, I know what a bushel is because I grew up in a farm country and we had bushels, but for our audience who doesn't, what can we compare that to?
A bushel is about 35 liters.
35 liters, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a tenth of it is an omer, so to be about 3.5 liters.
Yeah. Now, if you want to compare that to something that we in the United States would know, a gallon is about 3.79 liters. So it's a little bit less.
The size of a gallon of milk.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it seems like it's plenty enough food for one person for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What did it mean when, okay, we know that by day, a cloud went ahead of the Israelites to guide them. By night, it was a pillar of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So what did it mean when it said that the glory of the Lord was appearing in the cloud? I would think that, the cloud itself would be an amazing thing.
Yeah, the cloud was there. That's an unusual thing. It always led them. But it could have been confused as maybe just a cloud, like a rain cloud. But the impression I'm getting from commentaries are confirming this, that it would be that there's like a shimmering light, that the cloud is doing something different that a cloud never does. That it's people would be aware, whoa, what is that? So this shimmering light out of the cloud would say, God is there. What's amazing of this cloud all of a sudden having a shimmer that I think we can take with us, the people had the cloud all the time. They kind of got used to God being there all the time. But God wanted them to know in a special way, hey, I'm here. Hey, pay attention to me. And doesn't God do that for you and me also at times? That he does certain things to let us know that, hey, I'm with you. I will never leave nor forsake you.
And then in the evening, the quail came and they covered the camp.
Yeah.
I mean, literally covered it.
Quail was common in that area, especially during certain periods of the day, the year, as they migrate. So they probably weren't too surprised about the quail, maybe the amount of quail, but not that there were quail. Which leads to another point, which maybe you were going to comment about, is as we move on in the Bible, it always talks about the miracle of the manna, but not the miracle of the quail.
Mm-hmm. I was going to comment on that.
And that is because quail were commonplace. They saw that. God was just directing a whole flock to come and settle there.
And how big is a quail?
Well, a quail is just a small bird, smaller than a chicken.
So,
one quail per person, I would guess.
Okay.
But what's amazing is manna, that was not common. This was, like they even said, what is this? They had no clue. And they had to be instructed by God through Moses that this is the bread. We're going to find out they had this for 40 years in the desert, eating until they got to Cana, where they could then plant their own plants and harvest. So God provided for them this manna to give them food. One last thing I think is amazing. I didn't see this in the commentaries, but I'm extrapolating. It did say people went out and gathered as much as they needed. And it makes this comment. Some gathered much, some gathered little, but everyone had enough. One could read this as, well, if it's a family of two, they only gathered a little. But if you got a family of 10, you got to gather much. And that could be, but I also believe this is referring to those who were maybe disabled. Those with arthritis.
Wow.
Who couldn't bend down and get a whole lot, but God, again, not only did he do the blessing on the ground of giving manna, but then as it was carried in, and this arthritic, crippled person might go, man, I don't got very much. But God multiplied it even with what they gathered so that they were satisfied. Well, there's more going on here than just God feeding the people with bread from heaven. He wants to teach them something. He also wants to teach you and me something as well. Let's read on, and we'll see what that is. We're starting at verse 19.
Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of this until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers, for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded. And it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none."
Show me the stairway. One day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus.
One day at a time. Yep. That's what the Israelites had to learn. And that's what we have to learn.
Oh, boy, do we ever. You started by singing this song at the beginning, but with different words. Could you re-sing that? Because it ties into to this.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all you're commanding of me. Give me the strength to be every day what I have to be.
Yeah, that's a challenge. And this is one of the big things that he was, number one was he was asking them to trust him, that he brought him out to the desert. He's not going to let him die. And second is then to obey him one day at a time. One day at a time. Then the third thing he was trying to start to begin to impress upon the people was the Sabbath, to rest. And he was doing that through the commands. And that's why it's interesting. You even raised a question about that, about the leaders came and said, but hey, they've gathered, and the people were gathering on the sixth day too much.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, I know at school, as students, we don't always listen. But were the leaders asleep during that part of Moses' lecture?
I was taking this as the people were gathering, and the leaders came back to say, "Yep, Moses, see, we were listening. We gathered a bunch more, just like you said."
Interesting. Because I took it as, "Moses, the people are gathering twice as much. We're in trouble now."
And the people listening, but not the leaders. Interesting. It could be. I can see it either way. Either way. But from this, they learned, just as we learn, we need to listen to the Lord. Listen so that we can obey him and follow, even when it doesn't seem like the best or the right or a leap of faith. Because isn't that what it's all about?
So, how's that going for you, Pastor Dave?
Sometimes I take leaps, and sometimes I leap right into a wall and find I wasn't obeying the Lord and trusting him. There are times we stumble. Hey, me, how about you? How's it going for you?
Well, perfect, of course. I mean, I
sure.
Ouch.
Tell you what, how about we hear from our listeners how it's going for them? We'd like to hear from you. How is it going for you in trusting the Lord? Hey, we've admitted we don't always do so well.
No.
So write us. You can do so at
info.
I-N-F-O.
At not dash alone.
N-O-T dash A-L-O-N-E.
Dot N-E-T.
And remember,
we
are not
alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn, interlude musicians. And One Day at a Time by Laurel Jean from her album 88 Keys to the Kingdom.
That's all, folks.